Hello, and welcome to Talking Opinions. I am your host, Anthony Livingston Hall. This is only my second episode, but I suspect it will be among the saddest I ever podcast. 2 years ago, after Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg survived yet another life-saving surgery, I wrote a commentary teasing that if she has another scare while Trump is still president, she will cause mass heart attacks. And so I begged her to please stop tempting fate, hers and ours. But my relief back then was such that I joined fellow liberals in mocking conservatives for celebrating reports of her demise, which thankfully proved greatly exaggerated. But I duly warned that if Trump gets an opportunity to nominate another Gorsuch or Kavanaugh, that would trigger tribal warfare, the likes of which not seen since the Hutus and Tutsis went at it in Rwanda. Well, he now has that opportunity, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead. She was celebrated as a legal pioneer long before she joined Sandra Day O'Connor as only the second woman to sit on the Supreme Court. In fact, Ginsburg was fighting for gender equality in law firms and courtrooms, while equally celebrated feminists like Gloria Steinem were taking to the streets to fight for the same. It is no exaggeration to assert that she did more than anyone in our lifetime to advance women's rights, most notably the right to choose an abortion. A former president, Bill Clinton, nominated her in 1993. While introducing Ginsburg, he echoed the chorus of those hailing her as the female Thurgood Marshall, who did for blacks what she had done for women. But I wonder to what extent this ardent feminist considered that a compliment, not least because Marshall never became the progressive cultural phenomenon that was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Indeed, her dissent to a 2013 court ruling speaks volumes. She skewered the conservative majority for striking a key provision of the Voting Rights Act, which Marshall himself had pioneered. That dissent then inspired a white law student to launch a meme crowning Ginsburg as the notorious RBG. It went viral, and the rest, as we say, is history. I could not help reflecting on what I wrote after that surgery 2 years ago, as I watched thousands gather on the steps of the Supreme Court last night, where they held an impromptu wake and paid vigil, because, sure enough, many appeared so grief-stricken and stricken with fear, they could hardly breathe. This, no doubt, because they all know that her death could mean war. I assure you, I had good reason to warn about Republicans and Democrats aping Hutus and Tutsis, and this was before Black Lives Matter protesters became worthy adversaries for the white supremacists who were just lying in wait to reassert their unquestioned prerogatives of white supremacy by any means necessary. I know that sounds scary, and it is, but we can avert this war. The problem is that it depends on Republicans doing what they have never done, namely putting love of country above fear of Trump. But the good news is that we only need a few good senators to do so. Specifically, we need 4 of the 53 Republicans who control the Senate to show political courage and moral fiber to honor their own Garland precedent, which they established in 2016. Perhaps you recall them insisting back then that they were standing on principle when they declared that no president shall nominate anyone for the Supreme Court in an election year. And if any president does, no Senate shall confirm that nominee. Meanwhile, President Trump, their white supremacist in chief, is clearly treating RBG's death like a godsend, because no other development could possibly affect his political fate, quite like nominating someone to replace her, that Garland president, or even her dying wish that he not do so, be damned. Except that everyone knew that Republicans were establishing this precedent pursuant to a nakedly partisan ploy. Their aim was simply to avoid confirming Merrick Garland as then-President Barack Obama's third Supreme Court nominee. And this, despite the fact that Obama nominated him in March of 2016, more than 7 months before Election Day. Well, that chicken has now come home to roost. This is why it will take a truly shocking level of hypocrisy, even for the systemically hypocritical administration, for Republicans to confirm Trump's third nominee. After all, this is an election year, and unlike 2016, when Obama's nominee had more than 7 months, this nominee will have less than two before Election Day. By the way, I am all too mindful that only one Republican had the political courage and moral fibre to convict a plainly guilty Trump at his impeachment trial. I duly hailed that Republican, Mitt Romney, for daring to do so. But RBG's death presents what might be the last opportunity for Republicans to redeem what little remains of their political integrity. I'm just hoping that, at long last, at least four of them will be seized with enough pangs of conscience to follow their own Garland precedent. Perhaps I'm just hoping against hope, but I'm counting on them doing so for their own sakes, as much as the country's. But I urge them to declare their intent to do so as soon as Ginsburg is laid to rest. Not only will this spare the country certain warfare, it will refocus this presidential campaign on the issues that have been animating it for the past 6 months, namely COVID-19 and the economy. But boy, what a lucky son of a bitch that Trump is. And he's so cynical, he'll probably nominate a gay, far-right, black Latina with a disability to boot, just to pander to as broad a base as possible. Even worse, Republican leaders seem hell-bent on confirming Trump's nominee before the end of the year, if not before Election Day. But am I the only one who sees the fool's gold inherent in this for Trump? After all, if disaffected Republicans don't have to vote for him to get their right-wing justice, why on earth would any of them do so? I mean, it's not as if this nomination will suddenly turn Trump into a more palatable or less odious president. Besides, I suspect many Republican leaders welcome this opportunity to finally play him for the fool, even they believe him to be. This they can do by taking his conservative justice and still sending him back where he came from, namely back to what has become a gilded cage in the sky above New York City. There he would anxiously await state prosecutors, who he knows are chomping at the bit, to indict him on a battery of charges related to fraud and tax evasion. Still, there's no denying that any nomination is bound to give him a little reprieve from the daily bashing he's now getting. A bashing richly deserved, to be sure, given his genocidal bungling of the fight to combat COVID-19. Apropos of which, as I insinuated above, don't think for a second that this cursed year of 2020 cannot possibly get any worse. But I digress. The state funerals of Senator John McCain and Representative John Lewis had Trump seething with pettifogging jealousy. Therefore, the state funeral of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will offer him a chance at redemption. If there are any grown-ups left in his administration, I hope they prevail upon him to rise to the occasion. Truth be told, I am as saddened by her death as I am concerned about what it portends. But wailing, "I dissent," will prove every bit as feckless in the face of unfolding events as it proved the many times she was obliged to vote the same in the face of conservative rulings throughout her tenure. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died at home on Friday due to complications related to pancreatic cancer. She was 87. Thank you for listening. Until the next Talking Eye Opinions, goodbye.